Chapter 2. Legacy of the Sigillite. Getting to the Sigillite's retreat through the Imperial Palace was not easy. Ancient, it had been swallowed whole by centuries of building. Venand enjoyed the tortuous route to the hidden garden. It helped stretch out her mind and her muscles. She had been feeling twitchy ever since the third attack on Ulanor, and relished the exercise. She ducked under an archway spidered with cracks caused by the buildings bearing down on it from above, and came into the retreat. It hadn't changed since she was last there, although, she reflected, it probably hadn't changed for hundreds of years. It was the same grey, dismal place she had tracked Vangarich to months before. Very remote, very quiet, it had many qualities that recommended it as a spot for meditation and clandestine meetings, but she'd be a fool to think they were the only ones that drew the Master of Assassins there. She had no idea if this rough little space had once been frequented by Malkador himself, but his name carried enough of the resonance of history with it to make it attractive to those seeking power. She must be mindful of Vangarich's ambition. He was already there, sitting openly upon the cracked wood of the split trunk bench at the garden's heart.
"Red incense rises over the Tower of Philo. Drakon Vangarich wishes to see me," she said lightly. Her feet crunched on the dusty gravel as she made her way to the bench.
Terra was so biotically compromised that in 1,000 years the tree trunk had not decayed at all, only shrunk in on itself and twisted out of shape. It was an apt visual metaphor for the state of the Imperium. Vangarich closed his book, rose, and bowed. He was wearing the monkish robes he'd taken to before the attack on Terra. She gave them an amused frown.
"Venand," he said with evident pleasure, "I am glad you came."
"I am not sure how I feel about your new look, Drakon. Why did you start to wear that ridiculous habit?"
Vangarich looked down at his robes.
"These? They present a certain cenobitic air, don't you think?"
"More places to hide weapons, perhaps. You are not a holy man."
"I have no idea what you mean, my dear Venand. I am aiming for devout. Too many people see me as frivolous. It is time I adopted a more serious air."
She scowled.
"Less of the my dear, Drakon. Despite your overtures of friendship, you would kill me without a moment's hesitation if you thought it necessary. Assassins don't have friends."
"You are my friend, Venand."
"I wish I could believe that," she replied.
Vangarich's smile slipped for a fraction of a second.
"So, you don't like my robes?"
"I prefer the suit. Don't deflect me. What is it that you want, Vangarich?"
Vangarich gestured to the bench. They sat together.
"The war is over, but the struggle is yet to be resolved," began Vangarich. "The orcs have been driven back, and for that the worlds of humanity can give praise. However, we both know they are not the greatest threat to the Imperium."
"The High Lords," said Venand wearily.
"The High Lords. A knotty problem. I prefer dealing with the orcs."
"You are a facetious man," said Venand.
"Thank you. This crisis could have been resolved so much earlier were it not for the fragmented nature of Imperial governance. There are billions of men under arms in the Imperium, hundreds of thousands of space marines, Titan legios, war fleets. Where were they all? Scattered, leaderless, misdirected to the ends of personal interest and agenda, so that when a real crisis arose they were attacked and eliminated in isolation. Under less ineffectual direction, the beast's rise would never have occurred. How many times did we make the same mistakes? 3 direct assaults on Ulanor. I'm no tactician, but tell me that was wise."
Venand looked up towards the plasteel sky 0.5 kilometre above. Windowless towers crowded the garden. What little light reached the retreat was attenuated, the environs murky.
"This place suits you very well," she said. "So shady."
"I suppose so,"
said Vangarich, looking around the retreat's tired cloisters.
"Or rather it did. Since you uncovered it, I've taken against coming here. I don't know why. It was my special place, but the thought of encountering someone unexpected, he said with a deliberately unctuous grin, took the shine off it. A shame. There are so few places I can be myself. She laughed at that.
Yourself is whatever you need it to be.
You're hurting my feelings.
So we're back where we started, making veiled threats and accusations at each other, while the real problems continue their idiotic reputational struggles.
It doesn't have to be that way, said Vangerich.
Then stop it, she said sharply.
She looked into his eyes properly for the first time since she had arrived. His face softened.
Please, we've proved good allies to one another. Let's not cast it all aside. We're better than them.
Vangerich nodded with relief.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I'm sorry. I had to check.
There was no need to goad me.
Goading people is part of my charm, and part of my plan.
Killing people is the culmination of it, she retorted. I take it the beheading of the orc was your idea.
Naturally.
I'm surprised you got the chapter master to agree to it.
Vangerich smoothed out his habit and made an apologetic noise.
Poor Thane has learned that bolter and blade are not the only weapons of war, and that not all wars are obvious.
Careful there, Draken. If you continue his education so effectively, you might make him dangerous.
Perhaps, said Vangerich. They are a peculiar breed, the Adeptus Astartes, so deadly in some respects, almost childlike in others. Thane is cannier than Corland was, less of a naïf, if you will. He has more experience, after all. I wonder how things would have gone had he been the last Imperial Fist rather than Corland. Would this crisis have lasted so long?
Corland was more easily led. A man needs to be malleable if you would turn him into a hero. He was right for the role.
The Emperor sent him at the right time, said Vangerich.
Now I know you don't believe that, scolded Venant. Be careful with Thane. You cannot manipulate him. He needs to be contained.
Ah, well, that might be a little tricky, said Vangerich. I've asked you here because I think we should make him the Lord Gilliman.
What? Said Venant.
He is dangerous, you are right. More so now the war is over. The enemy is defeated. Space Marines need enemies. It's their whole reason for being. He'll be looking for more soon.
And you want to put him in a room where he has nobody to look at but us?
Oh, I think we're quite safe, said Vangerich amiably. He doesn't trust me, but he does listen. And you? You have his respect, my dear Venant. You fought by his side. You proved yourself to him. You know, those new scars you have are very fetching.
He looked at her meaningfully.
You're suggesting that the Inquisition table the motion that he'd take the post? No, she said.
I was actually thinking you should do it. But the Inquisition, yes, the right hand of the Emperor himself, who could refuse that?
Don't mock me, Draken.
I'm teasing you. It's affectionate.
You can put teasing on my file along with my dear as things not to do to me.
She gripped the edge of the desiccated wood. It was hard as stone. She bowed her head in thought.
Veritas will not agree, she said, but I cannot deny that your plan is appealing. Thane in charge of the Senatorum might put a stop to the squabbling, at least for a while. He is more than a space marine, more than a son of the Emperor. He is the slayer of the beast, the saviour of the Imperium.
He is a symbol, said Vangerich. Seeing as we're out of Primarchs, he'll have to do.
She couldn't stop a smile at the thought of the reactions of the others.
They could say nothing against him. Thane would have the backing of every man, woman and child in the whole of the Imperium.
You're coming round to the idea, I can tell, said Vangerich.
I am not sure. Putting so much power into the hands of one man at the height of his popularity?
Just like Horus.
That is exactly what Veritas will say, she said.
Only I can't imagine someone like Thane going bad. Can you? Tell me truthfully.
Power corrupts, said Venant. There is a reason why the Emperor created the Senatorium Imperialis to rule. The Imperium was too much, even for him alone.
And like so many things since the time of the Great Crusade, it's worked just marvellously, said Vangarich. The Emperor was not infallible. Thane is no Primarch. His rule won't last forever, and the Imperium needs a steady hand for a while. We need reform. He can push it through.
Reforms, you suggest?
He shrugged. Or you? Tell me it makes no sense, and I will drop the issue. You agree with me, though, and I know you can handle Veritas.
She paused and became suspicious. There is something you're not telling me, she said. What play are you making, Draken? He became serious.
The play I am making is for stability at a time when we so desperately need it. The beast nearly finished us, Venant. Neither you nor I believe things can go back to the way they were. You know this isn't about personal power. It never has been. I'm not made that way. If I were, I would never have been recruited as an assassin, nor would I have been elevated to Grand Master.
Psych screening doesn't always work.
But you know me.
I'm afraid I do. All too well. They looked at each other, neither willing to drop eye contact. Venand broke their silence. Veriult and Lansung will not agree to this, she said. Vangarich smiled. She gritted her teeth. If she was at the point of making individual objections that could be dealt with one by one, she'd lost the argument.
I'll handle them. They will back your proposal, so will I. Zek will, too. He understands the situation. All I have to do is convince one more, and we will have a majority.
How can you be sure of Veriult and Lansung? They will be the biggest opponents to the idea. They have the most to lose.
I am sure they will back you, he said confidently.
Do I want to know?
I don't think so, said Vangarich. Venand bit her bottom lip. It wasn't clear there was any other way.
I'll consider it, but it will not be without cost.
And what would that cost be, inquisitorial representative?
Her face hardened. Don't be disingenuous, Draken. Vangarich passed three cowled menial priests on the stairs leading to the monitors. When he walked through the high marble gate, he was gratified to see that his orders had been obeyed. The monitors, empty of all but dust until a few days ago, had been attracting increasing numbers of pilgrims since the fall of the beast. They had all been removed. There was but one other living being in the monitors that evening. Surrounded by his noble antecessors, rendered three times life-size in stone, Thane looked entirely in place. He stood at the centre of the semicircular balcony that led out from the hall, framed against the dirty warmth of Terran skies. He was one of the heroes of old, come back to life, and stepped down from his plinth to survey the modern age with sorrowful eyes. Vangarich pitied him. Such was the fate of all heroes, their lives short, their souls captured in stone, their reputations used to rebuke generations yet to come. All of them would be disappointed to see the dream they had fought for.
Vangarich, High Lord, Thane said.
He bowed his head.
Lord Thane,
Vangarich returned his courtesy. He pulled out a blocky box from under his robes.
What is that? Said Thane.
Vangarich waved the device.
An audio damper, nothing sinister.
Put your silence field away. You'll talk to me openly or not at all, said Thane. I've no appetite for subterfuge.
As you wish, said Vangarich.
He had had the place swept for listening devices earlier that day. He was sure nobody would be listening, and if they were, what they might learn would not help them. Never act, Vangarich held, until it is too late for anybody to do anything about it. Thane looked around the ranks of heroes. They were paired, back to back, one looking down at the floor, the other staring sternly at the dome of the great chamber. Thane's own eyes followed the stone gaze of the statues and settled on the house of the Senatorum, and he half turned away from the Grand Master to share their view.
"What is it you want from me, Lord Vangarich?" said Thane. summoning me here, where so much of import has occurred these last months, surrounded by the warriors of the great legions, you can only be hoping to make some sort of point.
Bangorich went to look out over the vista of the palace. He leaned on a marble balustrade eroded by the corrosive air and drummed his fingers. The dome looked so fragile, like a bald head ready to be cracked. Only fate had preserved it from the shattering of the orc attack moon.
"Providence played a part in preserving the great chamber, don't you think?" Bangorich said. "The Emperor watched over it, I'm sure."
"I am unconvinced by your piety."
"I pray daily, my lord."
"Corlin told me, in the chapel ordinary. I am sure the common people are most affected by your display of humility." "Not I. You do not believe in the creed, I can tell."
"That's an interesting observation."
Thane made a dismissive noise deep in his throat.
"My kind knew the Emperor when he walked among us. You are not so far divorced in time from the founders of the Officio Assassinorum yourself. There have been, how many, 20 grandmasters since your order was founded?"
11, said Vangorich. "We assassins become adept at staying alive."
"You are too rational for faith." "I'll not play your games, Grandmaster. I am not Corland. The war is over. I tire of terror."
"No, you are not Corland," agreed Vangorich.
"Then tell me why I'm here. Speak plainly to me as Thane, not as your puppet. Corland was a great hero, but he heeded you too closely." "I am weary. The Imperial Fists, my chapter," he added, with a touch too much stress, "are battered. We may be brothers in blood, but we must learn to be comrades. I have much to do and little time to do it in."
Thane stalked forwards, ceramite boots scratching the porphyry floor, to stand over Vangorich.
Vangorich rested on the stone rail.
He was a fraction of Thane's armoured weight, yet he was easy in the chapter master's presence, a poisonous spider as deadly as the great cat in whose shadow it lurked.
"Well, then, I shall get to the nub of it. You might be done with terror, but terror is not done with you. Venand is going to propose you as Lord Gilliman. You should accept."
Thane blew out a prodigious sigh.
"Politics! I will not do it."
"I suspected you might say that. That's why I called you here."
"I'm not a politician. Ask the Ultramarines. I belong on a wall facing outward against our enemies, not sequestered in the keep surrounded by vipers."
"The Ultramarines mourn the loss of their master. They have their own realm to look to."
"We mourn our master too. I will not do it, Vangorich."
"I see. A shame. Oh, well."
"I am glad you do not press it."
Vangorich looked at the fantastical miniature landscape of the worn rock and traced it with his finger.
"Ask yourself, what happens when the traitors come forth from the Eye of Terror again? Or if the Eldar become resurgent?"
said Vangorich.
"So you are going to press it," said Thane.
"What happens," said Vangorich, raising his voice, "Emperor forbid, if the orcs find a new beast, or if another Xenos threat arises? We became lax. Ulanor should have been levelled, or better yet, destroyed. The site of the greatest victory of our supposed god, and what, we forget where it is? Our leaders neglect the defence of our frontier in favour of chasing more riches or shiny medals for themselves. It's insanity. You know it. The Senatorium Imperialis is broken. We need something else while it is restored to something approaching the Emperor's vision."
"I will not play Medicaid to Terra's ills when there is much work to be done beyond this system. The Emperor never intended that the Adeptus Astartes rule over common humanity. Our role is in its defence and in furthering the Emperor's glory."
"You're going to leave," stated Vangorich.
Thane's blocky transhuman face registered something akin to disdain.
"You quickly come to that conclusion. There are hundreds of worlds in the thrall of the orcs, thousands of fleets, dozens of attack moons. They must all be dealt with. The beast is dead, but if one warlord gains traction, a fresh orc crusade could build. In its weakened state, the Imperium will crumble. There are many armies and fleets scattered across the galaxy. They must be reorganized and motivated to fight back. The campaign to cleanse the stars of orcs will take decades, and it must be done now.
See? Our fears coincide, exclaimed Vangarich. You will be in a better place to deal with it as a High Lord. You will make an excellent Lord Gilliman.
I cannot afford the delay.
What is a few more weeks? Then you can be on your way.
You propose that I assume the office, then depart? Thane looked at him in puzzlement.
The threat of your return will be enough to keep them in line.
A few weeks saw us delivered of Magnaric's intelligence. Had we had that sooner, the first assault on Ulanor would have been the last. Corland would live. Many of my brothers would remain in service. A few weeks is everything, Grandmaster. You, the deliverer of the perfectly timed blade, know this full well.
Days, then, Vangarich said reassuringly. Put the house in order, then head out to employ your talents where they are needed. There are many here on Terra who could rule in your stead, and...
Many as in one? Thane clapped his armored hands slowly together. The clash of metal rang off the statues. Who do you propose, Vangarich? Yourself?
No.
Vangarich shook his head.
Good grief, no. I belong in the shadows. I was thinking Veritas? I'd suggest Venand, but she wouldn't do it. She is like you, chafing to get back to her business, now the crisis is past.
Veritas, because he will object to my appointment. Vangarich grinned.
You've become good at this.
A space marine who cannot judge a battlefield and adapt himself accordingly is not worthy of his battle plate, said Thane. The Senatorum is as deadly a war zone as any.
Of course, Venand will need mollifying. I suspect she might want the role herself, and if you give it to Veritas, she may be outraged. It wasn't so long ago that the inquisitorial representatives were trying to kill each other. Might I suggest your first act, as Lord Gilliman, should be to transfer control of the Death Watch permanently to the Inquisition?
I was thinking of disbanding it, said Thane, along with a last wall.
Ah, good. I was going to bring that up too. The latter has to be done, but the Death Watch have proven their utility. They serve very well in building bonds between your chapters. You have become a little... well, estranged since the second founding, and the third didn't help.
I do not...
If you would indulge me, Chapter Master, said Vangarich, the addition of a chapter-strength force of space marines to the Inquisition's arsenal will greatly shore up their authority, and further, keep the High Lord's minds focused where they should be, on the business of government, and not on their own estates.
Thane stared down at him. Dubiously. Their faces were so heavy, thought the Grand Master, that it was too easy to see the Adeptus Astartes as stupid.
Come now, you know the rules very well, Vangarich went on. The reformation of the Imperial Fists and that presentation to the High Lords in the Plaza de Camerata? Masterful work. You already have them in retreat. Take on the mantle of Lord Gilliman and put them to flight. The Imperium needs you, Maximus Thane. Now is not the right time for another mortal man to lead.
And what do you gain from all this, Master of Assassins?
Nothing. I get nothing. I get not to assassinate anyone. That is what I get. Keeping the peace is always my first intention, Chapter Master. I assure you of that. He tapped Thane's plastron. A threat loses its power once it is acted upon. I am a threat. Like I said, I belong in the shadows.
Terra breathed again. The great chamber swarmed with lesser lords. It was even busier than usual, packed out with planetary delegations from beleaguered worlds. How quickly the vermin boil out of their hiding places when the storm has passed, Bangorich thought. A short while ago, he had regretted the absence of the Least Lords and all the others. Now he saw in them yet more potential for delay. Once wider democracy had worked, but these were different times. Nevertheless, today they were needed. The building was in the throes of repair. Piles of rubble had been cleared away. Collapsed tiers of seating were roped off, the process of dismantling them half completed. Walls unknown to daylight for 1,000 years stood exposed. Scaffolding rose up the sides of the dome, catwalks crisscrossing its vaulted expanse. Lines of fresh, pale plaster crept up along cracks. All menials had been dismissed while the Senatorum was in session, except the fresco painters, who must work their paints into the damp plaster before it dried. They sent black looks at the gathering lords, as if it were they who had invaded the painter's workspace and not the other way round. Really, it would have made more sense to hold a closed meeting of the High 12 in the Clanium Library, or the Cerebrium, but a full session was required. Vangorich had spent several exhausting days making sure that it occurred. Otherwise, the Great Chamber remained as it had been before the crisis. Floating constructs traversed the wide open space under the dome. The dais still rotated at its glacial pace. Dawn still glared down upon the seats of the High Lords. Vangorich looked up at the Primarch's face while the others dealt with their armies of aides and subordinates. He suppressed a smile at the thought of his temple masters arriving here and mobbing him. Naturally, he only appeared alone. There were over 12 officio agents in the chamber, several embedded in the retinues of his fellow High Lords. He remained forever grateful that they could not bother him directly. He was a loner by inclination. Everything hinged on the next few hours. He trusted Dawn's glower would prove sufficient motivation to his gene son to do the right thing. The wait for proceedings to begin was the most tedious part of the day. Thousands of lesser lords and adepts filed into the intact galleries. Prefecti by the cohort, consularies by the gross. Vangorich slipped into a meditative trance, his hearing flickering from conversation to conversation. Eckarth was flustered, as well a man tasked with putting right the material damage done to Terra and its domains might be. Lansung was defiant, but it was a shell. Beriolt was cowed, spending his time brooding over his own failures. Zek's augmetic face was unreadable. Kubik had come back from Mars, but his body was still. The others behaved according to their character. Juskina Tull was a mental wreck, a blank face swamped by outrageous finery. She had developed a small tick around her left eye. The defeat of the beast would force her to confront her failure with a proletarian crusade soon. Vangorich didn't expect that to turn out well. Reports from his temple Vanus infocytes indicated that her own people thought so too, and that a struggle among the Chartist captains was already developing. Should she fall, he doubted the organization would retain its place among the High 12. Dissent among the Chartists and a vacuum at the High Table. More problems. Anwar, Sark, and Gibran were becoming closer, the two psychers pulling the Paternoval envoy into their circle. They had the warp in common after all. This little triumvirate concerned him only slightly. Gibran held real power, but the other two were functionaries at heart, fiercely defensive of their Adeptus influences for no good reason. Both the Adeptus Astra Telepathica and the Astronomicon were essential to the Imperium. Neither of them posed any risk.
Vangorich!
The phlegmy, ancient voice of Veritas broke into his semi-trance.
Ah, Veritas, how are you?
Veritas loomed over him in his cream power armor, so Vangorich stood. Veritas's wrinkled face stared at him defiantly from its protective apparatus. He looked so small in there.
This idea of yours, it cannot be, said Veritas. You are playing a dangerous hand. Venand told you, did she?
Said Vangorich.
She intends to go through with it, against my recommendation. A pity. I am sure if you were to re-examine the issue, it would make sense to you, said Vangarich. A space marine should not sit on the council. This reformation of the old legion is ample evidence why. The first Lord Gilliman was... Well, Lord Gilliman, offered Vangarich. There is precedent. He was a Primarch, said Veritas, and perhaps the only one suitable to the role. Horus's betrayal of the Emperor is the history you should be looking to here. Do not invest a space marine with such power over mortal men.
Veritas was close to shouting in his face, his words carrying over the numbing hubbub of voices filling the chamber.
Sorry, but I don't agree. Look, a couple of the others are beginning to pay attention to our business. Let's say we debate this in the proper forum when this session commences. Let's put it to a vote.
Veritas glared at him.
You cannot control him. Veritas, why would I want to control him? You're a liability, said Veritas.
His armour whined as he stepped around the dais to take a seat by Venand. Since Corlan's death, there was one free.
Eckhart, when are we going to get started? Called Zek.
We'll get started,
began the master of the Administratum. The thump of ceramite boots on stone interrupted him.
Now,
suggested Vangarich lightly. Maximus Thane strode towards the dais, the crowds parting before him. He came escorted by a full squad of Imperial Fist's First Company veterans, their armour heavy with battle honours. Cast icons of the chapter hung from chains on their pauldrons. The yellow of their armour was almost obscured by gilding, badges and emblems.
Chapter Master, good of you to join us, called Vangarich.
What can we do for you, Lord Thane? Said Eckhart.
Without a Lord Gilliman, he had asserted his Adeptus's seniority and appointed himself temporary chair. Such a snivelling, reactive little man, ordinarily, he had become swelled with pomposity like a toad.
I will speak with the High Lords, said Thane.
He stopped by the rotating dais.
Impossible, said Eckhart. The business of the Senatorium Imperialis is about to commence in full session. You have no seat here. We have petitions to hear from hundreds of worlds. You must wait your turn.
I shall not, said Thane. This will not wait.
You must go, Thane,
said Eckhart, his face flushing crimson. So he has a backbone, thought Vangarich, that might prove problematic.
Ah, he said, I motion that we bring forward other matters from the end of the session to now. We have not begun,
said Lansung exasperatedly. Vangarich shot him a warning look. The Lord Admiral seethed.
Seconded, said Venand.
Anger bubbled up through the cracks in Eckhart's mask of self-importance.
This is most irregular.
The background chatter of the crowd hushed as the lesser lords and planetary delegations caught notice of the growing confrontation.
Call a vote. We are the High Lords. I rather thought we could conduct our business as we see fit. Let's get it out of the way.
Very well, said Eckhart.
Along with his new backbone, he had acquired an orb of black granite that he slammed into a cup of the same. The clack of the gavel snapped through the chamber like a cannon shot. Bobbing servo skulls swung their attention to the dais. The High Lords shooed away their remaining servants and subordinates. The conversation in the chamber dwindled to a breathy silence.
I bring this meeting of the Senatorum to order. We shall vote on undertaking other business first.
Vangarich raised his hand, as did Venand, Anwar, Zek, Veriolt, and after a cocked eyebrow from Vangarich, Lansung.
Carried, said Eckhart angrily. What do you want to table, Vangarich?
Not me, said Vangarich.
He held out a hand to Venand. Venand hesitated. Veritas was staring at her so hard, the blue veins in his temple pulsed.
I move that we appoint Maximus Thane to the head of this senatorum as Lord Gilliman, she said.
Her words were met with resounding cheers from the lesser lords that almost drowned out Vangarich's seconding of the motion, despite the Voxmitters amplifying his voice. Eckarth went purple. He really has had no idea, thought Vangarich.
"Vote, then,"
he said, cracking his spherical gavel petulantly.
"For?"
Vangarich, Venand, Zek, Beriolt, Lansung, and Anwar again voted. After a moment's consultation, so did Gibran and Sark. Kubik raised a mechanical hand in silence, then went back to whatever it was that really interested him.
"Against,"
said Eckarth. He raised his own hand quickly, then snatched it down. He stared at the table in defeat.
"Welcome to the Senatorium Imperialis," said Vangarich to Thane. He bowed his head. "My Lord Gilliman."
The chamber shook to the cheers of the massed lesser lords as Maximus Thane took his seat at the head of the table.